This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Walt Magnuson of Texas A&M. Walt, thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, as always, Donnie, it's my pleasure. It's always a good time sharing information with you and talking to you and getting ideas from you and stuff like that. So it's my pleasure, Donnie.
All right. Well, thanks. Well, you guys are always juggling like a million balls and things like that. Can you give us an update on some of the research projects you guys are doing? You guys are always good at testing. You all do anything in that area?
Yeah. So, quite frankly, coming off, so we've been here doing this for 19 years now. We're coming off the best year we've ever had in terms of activity and new funded projects and initiatives and stuff like that. So word about what we do seems to be getting out again, large in part due to folks like you out there sharing it with others. But yeah, in terms of the testing, We're working through two projects right now that involve interoperability testing. So as we start transitioning everything over to TCP/IP protocols and all of it being IP-centric and operating on the network, most of the areas we operate in, things like computer-aided dispatch, there isn't really a whole lot of standards. But in some areas, there are standards. And I'm sure everyone would agree, the best path to interoperability is by understanding the standards, knowing the standards, and adhering to the standards. But adhering to the standards or saying that, companies saying that they adhere to the standards is easy to say, but we're trying to make it possible for companies to be able to prove that. So with some funding we have from the Department of Homeland Security, we are working through, well, actually it's joint funding from DHS and Department of Transportation through the National 911 Office, the National NGA 911 Office. We received funding to create and deploy a interoperability conformance and testing suite. So how do I, so in doing that, there's a program language called TTCN3. It's a program language that was specifically written to be able to test against standards. So in essence, really what it does is a standard says, thou shalt do this. And in essence, really what happens is a test engine that you develop takes TTCN3 and takes a test, and then runs that test against the system. And you get a straightforward answer. It did it or it didn't do it. If it did it, it passes. If it didn't do it, it doesn't pass. So there's really no subjectivity to it at all. It's very, very clear that something is passed a test when it's passed. So we're doing that with some funding through DHS, but also doing the same thing in the mission critical push to talk with working with the University of the Basque Country in Spain. Again, on MCPTT space, and that one is actually through some PSCR or some NIST funding. That project's a little bit further along. We're about a year and a half into that, and looking like we probably will be taking that test suite to the industry and to the market, hopefully in the last quarter of 22. So, that's what's happening in the interop testing space.
All right. Well, very cool. Well, are you doing anything else with public safety, and in particular, some of the good folks at PSCR that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, so two recent projects that we just started on. First one involves creating a land mobile radio data set. And the purpose of this data set is to create a data set that people that want to go ahead and do some modeling can use this data set to be able to say, what would happen today if basically at midnight tonight, I took all of my LMR traffic and converted it over to mission critical push to talk and moved it all to the LTE network. That obviously would have an impact on the network, but it's not just a straightforward linear impact because Mission Critical Services, like Mission Critical Push to Talk and Mission Critical Video and everything else, actually require more resources from the network than do over-the-top applications. The reason for that is the applications are prioritized. And if you're going to prioritize things, you're basically, in essence, ensuring and guaranteeing that the transport that's needed to deliver them is available whenever it's needed. So it actually has services like Mission Critical Services have higher impact than over the top. So what we're really doing is creating a data set to be able to allow engineers and programmers to generate some models that would look at it and say, if I were to do this today, what would the impact on the network be? The way we're collecting that information is we're working with 10 public safety agencies across the state, across the country, I'm sorry. We're working with 10 public safety agencies across the country, and we're going to find a time that they have heavier than normal usage. For example, we've talked to Washington, D.C., and when we collect their data, if it turns out that they end up participating, we would be collecting it over the 4th of July, obviously a heavy use period for the mall there in D.C. So we collect all of the push-to-talk data, what time the call starts, what time the call stops. We then also capture the location of all of the LTE sites that are in the area, put that into a data set, and then provide controlled access to that data to engineers and again, modelers that really want to use that data set to be able to do that, or be able to use that data. There will be no PII in there at all. So it's just strictly the push-to-talk information, what time the calls stop and what time it start. None of the traffic itself will be captured.
So, Walt, now, is this going to be strictly on the mission-critical push-to-talk, or will this also include mission-critical data and mission-critical video?
That's going to be a little bit more hard to model because of the fact that, there's really nowhere you can collect data to do that today. Yeah. Obviously, we've got the LMR radios, so we can collect voice statistics today. Mm-hmm. Now, could you take that and convert that to understanding how much data is used? I mean, if you build it into the model, what the data rate is used for the video, and obviously your call sessions are longer and stuff like that. If you add those other factors into the model, yeah, I think you could basically utilize some of that data to kind of anticipate what the video traffic would be as well.
Okay, all right. But I mean, just in general, voice is typically much less bandwidth than especially video.
Yes and no. So if you look again at LMR data today, LMR traffic today, I have a repeater, and that repeater is sending out signal, and I might have 150 people in a talk group, and that 150 people in the talk group are all basically getting just that one transmission. With voice, one of the other problems you've got is that there really, right now, today, is not really a implemented multicast system for LTE. So that means if I have 150 people in a talk group, I have 150 signals going out, and I'm sending that information 150 times.
Good point.
So, yeah, there's a significant difference in the way LMR and LTE operate. So hopefully this data set will let people start to understand what's going to happen when all of a sudden I have a large incident in an area and all of a sudden the radios start getting heavy use.
Very true. So you all doing the other work there?
Yeah. So we also were funded to really create some data sets that could be utilized in an IoT challenge. And the IoT challenge that PSCR is looking at specifically is working in the artificial intelligence area. AI, artificial intelligence, is always a very difficult field to work in the United States because of the privacy concern. And these are good, valid, justified concerns, but there's a different view of privacy in the U.S. than there would be, let's say, for example, in China. So because of those privacy issues, it's harder to get data. So we're creating a data set for them, basically going ahead and using information that we would be collecting off of public safety sensors out of Disaster City. And since Disaster City trains a large number of first responders every year, that data that's collected there could be utilized. But also our first responders typically sign a waiver when they go out there, understanding that, you know, some of the data that's there could be used for research. Again, we always eliminate all of the PII.
Right. Okay. Well, so you mentioned IoT. And, you know, one of the things people look at, have been talking about recently is, hey, you have all these great IoT sensors out there, but certainly in the early days of IoT, there wasn't much security on those sensors, and people were wondering whether they can be a launch point for cyber attacks. And certainly with all the talk of ransomware and now, you know, nation-state attacks, even I'm just wondering, are you all doing anything on the security side to help people sleep a little better at night?
Yeah, so one of the projects we have is with some of the researchers here at A&M, working with you know, Dr. Patrick Trainer at the University of Florida. And on that one, things like CBRS are now enabling communities to also build their own private LTE networks. So it's not going to be in the future. It won't be that only the service providers are managing LTE networks. That being the case, you know, there's different types of vulnerabilities that we have to start looking at. And this group of five professors are looking at various types of vulnerabilities that would be involved in 4G and 5G core security. So if I've got my own LTE network out there and I've got an LTE core, are there things you could utilize or things you could use, for example, in diameter, which is what they use to do, use authentication information across, on inner core connections? Are there areas in there where there are vulnerabilities? Could you actually do man in the middle, where I actually pretend to be an E-Node-B device connected to a network and respond to a device, tell it it's connecting, where it's actually connecting through a rogue or a hacker's LTE network? So those types of things are the types of things we're looking at there. And then lastly was pushing more into end-to-end security. Working with DHS, we're putting together a model on how do I secure all voice traffic that is generated, and initially started off with the federal government. How do I secure all voice traffic that is going from telephone to telephone across any agency anywhere in the United States? The idea there is that, for example, if you've got, for example, if you've got Federal Agency A talking to Federal Agency B, currently they're interconnected today over the public safety public safety switch telephone network. Well, if you're connected over the PSTN, everything is set in clear text, and everything basically is out there on, you know, what I would call the open wires. So securing and encrypting end to end is a goal that they've been looking at. Not again for classified information, but, you know, again, if you get enough sensitive information, you can basically put together classified information.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, I don't know how you guys keep up with all of it, but congratulations on all this, and please keep us abreast of the findings that you all have from the research in the future.
Okay. Where we keep up with all of it, Donnie, is basically through having a fantastic staff that is well-versed in leading-edge technology and partnerships. We count very, very, we rely very heavily upon our partnerships, folks with, like, the Georgia Tech Research Institute that's working with us on both ICAM and on some 5G DoD work. Again, folks like, you know, Columbia University, where Dr. Henning Schulze-Rennie that we're working up there is one of the people that originally invented voice over IP, and Dr. Patrick Trainer in Florida, that, you know, again, he's been doing security work and the service provider work for some of the largest service providers out there for a few decades now. So it's partnerships and having a good staff yourself.
Yeah, sounds like a great team. Well, I'll tell you, congratulations, Walt, on all the progress you guys have made, and can't wait to hear more in the future.
Sounds good, Donnie. Thanks, and have yourself a great day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, bye.